that a few years ago. 2 years ago. I think I mentioned it last year or so. And the only thing is that some people said that they didn't hear the first part, so I'll try to give a brief review of what we said, and then I'll just try to add the new part. It would be a good idea if everybody would take a chumash, because you'll be able to follow inside the chumash. Through everything we said in the first time, just the basic ideas. So we'll limit ourselves to the order of the psukkim. Take a look at the psukkim in the Torah. You have like this, Bereishis Beis. We'll start with the Bereishis Beis, Pasuk Zion. Vayitzer ad Hashem alakim es ha'odom ofar min adama. Vayipach bi'apav nishmas hayim. Vayhi ha'odom l'nefesh hayo. Okay? Then you have, after that's the first pasuk of the creation of man. If that's the second account. Two accounts over here. Why there are two accounts? Different story. But now we'll limit ourselves to within the second account, what took place. So you have Vayitzer, first pasuk is Vayhi Adam l'nefesh chaya. Then you have pasuk tesvav, because the next thing is the description of Gan Eden, so we'll just let that go. Then you have pasuk tesvav, so then it describes Gan Eden, Vayitzer l'kim, then it describes the place where it was. Then it says Vayikach Hashem l'kim esadam vayanecheyu v'gan Eden lo'avdol ha'shamra. So this follows logically. You have the order of first he created them, then he created Gan Eden, and then he put him in Gan Eden. Okay. Then you have Pasuk Tezayin Vayitzav Hashem Elokim Al Adam Lemar Mikol Eitz Hagon Ochel Techa. So he received this first mitzvah, first commandment. Then you have Pasuk Yudches. Pasuk Tezayin follows continuation of Pasuk Tezayin. Then you have Pasuk Yudches. Vayomer Hashem Elokim Loitayv Heyayis Adam Levadai Es Eloi Ezer Kinegdai. Okay. Here already starts the first difficulty. What's the difficulty?
Woman.
So what's the
go back. Where is it coming over here?
What?
Where is it coming over here?
Okay, where is it coming over here? And where should it come in? Where should it come in, really? Yeah, because what happens? Who was included in the commandment? Was it only Adam that was included in the commandment? Was it only Adam that was included in the commandment?
No.
How do you know? Because later on, the Torah says, Elohish Amar, right? So she was also included in the command. According to the way the Torah has it, right? So first there was the command to Adam alone, and then the rational order would have been first that Adam should have been created with his wife, correct? And then they should both receive the command. Then they should both receive the command.
You want to do this? I have to learn how what Pshat is and says the Zohar came to blood also.
Yeah. Because
there's a thing that what's going to be lost?
No. Whatever Pshat you're going to say is Zohar came to blood before the first account. Yeah, so there's two Pshatim over there. So one is one Pshat is that there was that there was both together, but then he split them apart. But whatever it was, whatever it was, she wasn't a separate creature until later. So first, that's one pshat. According to another pshat, it's not that way. It wasn't Shnei Patsukim Baram. But according to the second pshat, definitely it doesn't make sense. And even according to the first pshat, she wasn't a separate creature. First, she should have been a separate creature. And then he should have given the command. Where she came from, whether the whole skeletal frame was already created before, in the first account, or whether it wasn't all skeletal frame, it's not a problem. But she wasn't a separate individual until where's the pasuk saying? One second, where are we now? Leitei ve'oda ha'yesod levadai. Vayiven ad Hashem alakim es atzela shelokach min ha'odam le'isha vayivieho elo ha'odam. That's when she became an individual, a separate individual. No question about that. I mean, no one argues on that. Question is, beforehand, how much of her existed beforehand? Skeletal frame was there, was it not there? Separate problem. But the fact that she became an individual is pashut in the Torah, pasuk says openly that she became when did Chava become a separate human being? Later. So the question is: apparently, she received the tzivui from Adam. Apparently, she received the tzivui via Adam.
So
it should have been
that?
The other way. It should have been HaKadosh Baruch Hu should have created them both first, and then given the tzivui to both, right? And then what?
I don't see what makes a difference.
Why?
What's the difference? The law is given before a person is born. I mean, the law applies to them when they're born, after they're born, right?
Yeah. I'm not saying the law doesn't apply. That's not the question. The law doesn't apply. The question is this. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let me ask simply, right away. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should have created immediately Adam and Chava, right, first. Why did he have to wait for Leitevei Yisrael and Levadai? Should have created them both first, then given the Tzivui to them, right? And then the whole Sifra Maisa. But this way, first he creates Adam, gives the Tzivui to Adam, then later, all of a sudden, he creates Chava, and then she's included in the Tzivui. She should have been created initially. What is after? Why the gap? Why the gap? All the other, take a look at all the other behemoths. All the behemoths we find were created, Zachar and the cave of Brahma, immediately. You don't have such a break. First the Zachar was created, and then the cave of the whole business. So why over here first Adam is created, then he receives the Tzivui, and then he's living, then all of a sudden, in an afterthought, and then Chav is created. The order, there's discrepancy here, a logical discrepancy in the order of events. The natural order should have been they're both created, and then they both receive the Tzivui, and then they're both with the Chait. Yes?
Man was created before the place was
before the you mean the order of Sukkah?
Where was Adam? Since Gan Eden was after Adam, where was Adam before Gan Eden?
You mean in the where actually he was, whether the super was, whether it predated or not, I'm not interested in that right now. I'm interested in the point whether the super of when Gan Eden was created was before or after. That's not the point right now. I'm just saying that before you have a logical order of events. You have man, you have where he lives, and then you have the tzivui. You see, that's a logical order. But the isha is not. What?
It's not logical.
Why not?
There has to be a place for man to go to before there's a man, then a place.
Yeah, but the point is, when we say Gan Eden was arranged, there's two things, you see. The point, all I said before was simply this. When Vayitar Hashem Elokim Gan Be'eden Mekedem Vayosam Shomas Adam Asher Yotzar. So I can understand what the two factors are. You have Adam and where he lived. That I understand. Whether the Gan Eden was complete before or whether it wasn't complete before, I'm not concerned with that problem right now. I'm concerned with a different problem altogether. So the problem of the relationship between Adam, the creation of Adam, the creation of Chava, why the gap, the separation, and the Tzivui. So the first thing we see in terms of a discrepancy is that Adam was created first, he received the Tzivui, and then you have Chava later. Okay, there are a lot of other problems in the Pasha. I understand every problem in the Pasha. Yes?
Is that known as a fact that the Tzivui came to before
yes.
Chava was born?
Well, you see where the Pasha says?
There's also no chronology in the
what do you mean?
As far as it's written, there's no chronology.
But Yisrael HaShem Elokim al Adam. That means only Adam. Adam. He was the only one. That's what the Pasha says. Okay. Now let's take a look at the next Pasha. What does it say in the next Pasha? Next pasuk, your test. Vayitzer Hashem Elokim min Adama. Vayitzer Hashem Elokim min Adama. Right? What does it say? What? Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, Kol Chayas Asada the Ace Kolayf Hashemayim Vayove Ela Adam Liros Mayikrolai. Okay. Now the question is this. The question is, why suddenly are we interrupted? It says like this. Fine. What's your Tesla doing here? Suddenly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings everything in front of Adam to see what he should call him, right? Whatever Adam says, it's the name. Okay. So you'll tell me that it's the chronology, it's not the order is backwards. Alright, take a look at the next pasuk. In the same pasuk. What's going on? What's the chat in the pasuk? What shaykhis does one thing have to do with the other? Vayikra Adam up to the Esnachta. Vayikra Adam Shemis L'chol Abheim Oloif Hashemayim L'chol Chayas Asoda. Ula Adam L'motza Eza Kenegda.
In Rashi
said. What does Rashi say?
When he was pointing them, he looked at the each one had a mate, and he realized he didn't have one.
Yeah. Okay, all right. It's Chazal. That's Chazal. But open pshat in the pasuk. Vayikra, the pasuk doesn't say, the pasuk says Vayikra Adam Shemos, so Chalameima, or LaAdam LeMachez. Somehow or other, I mean, there's some relationship between the two. What's the relationship between the two? Okay. And why the interruption between Esli Ezek and Egdai, and between Vayikra Adam Shemos as no sheches? Okay. Now pasuk of Beis. Then you have pasuk of Aleph and pasuk of Beis and pasuk of Gimel. Vayapel Hashem Lekim Kadem Alam Vayishu Vigarach Mitzal Tzvi Yisgubas Tachtena Vayishu Vigarach Mitzal Tzvi Yisgubas Tachtena Vayishu Vigarach Mitzal Tzvi Yisgubas Vayomer Adam Zeis Hapam Etzem Me'atzama Yavashim Ibsari Lezeis Vikari Isha Ki Yimei Ishtu Kacha Zeis. Then you have the Sipra Maisa Vanach Asher Yaorum. And then there's a strange continuation of it. You know where the Pasuk continues? Bereishis Gimel Pasuk Chaf. Vayikra Adam Shem Ishtai Chava Ki Hi Oysa Em Kol Chai. You see? So then it goes back. Really, the whole Sipra Maisa is like an interruption between Vayikra Adam Shemus, follow him, Halachai, Halachai, Shemai. Then, Vayikra Adam Shemus, Shechava, Kiyay, Sain, Kochai. It's kind of like everything, it's an interruption, it goes right back. Okay. What is the sequence of events? The question is, the question that we bothered with last time was, what is the sequence of events here in the Torah, in the Pasuk? Yeah, so we said like this. We said that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man, we can't know why he created him a certain way. We can't know why HaKadosh Baruch Hu did certain things in a certain way. Now, why his wisdom decreed this is the best way? Sometimes certain things we can understand, certain things we don't know why. But it doesn't prevent us from probing into what knowledge we can gain from the Parsha. And we said like this. We said that there definitely has to be a natural sequence of events over here. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man, so he created man in accordance with the way things necessarily arose as they went along. Okay. What is the first pasuk? First pasuk is Vayitzar Hashem Elokim Es Adam Ofer Min Adama Vayipach Papa Nishmas Chayim Vayi Adam Nefesh Chaya. What does Nefesh Chaya indicate? Nefesh Chaya is Nefesh Abami. Nefesh Chaya is Nefesh Abami. Take a look at all the in Bereishis. Vayim Elokim Yishritzu Amayim Sheretz Nefesh Chaya. Vayim Elokim Taitzeor, it's Nefesh Chaya Lamina, Behem of Oremis, Vachaiseres Lamina. All through the Pesukim, Nefesh Chaya is an indication of Nefesh Abami. And I found the Rambam in Perek Aleph Nefesh Nechol Surist, which really clinches it. The Rambam says, Ha'odam. He's talking about Nechol Surist. He says, Ha'odam. Afal Pishenem Rabbi Vayhi Ha'odam Lenefesh Chaya, Eino Miklal Mine Chaya. Balas parsa. Lefikach ene beloisase. Vo'echel mitzara odom oi mechelboi beimen achai, beimen ames, ene leike. So Ram said, even though Ramperg beis halachigil. Ram said, even though Adam is called nefesh chaya, but it's not included in Shmini, Pasha Shmini in nefesh chaya. Ah. So what do you see nefesh chaya refers to? Nefesh chaya, what's the reference? Nefesh abami. Okay. So first you have Vayhi Adam with nefesh chaya. What's the next part you have? The next pasuk? Pasuk tezayin, he said. Then Gan Eden, then you have Gan Eden, right? Then you have Gan Eden. Then you have Vayitza Vareshem Elokim Ala Adam Lemar. Mikol Eitza Gan Ochol Techa. What does that represent? Vayitza Vareshem Elokim. What does that represent? Das. Why Das? Because there is no Tzivui without Das. And you can be sure. What? So Vayitza Vareshem Elokim is a reference to the fact that Adam wasn't only a Nefesh Chaya. Adam wasn't only a Nefesh Chaya. Adam was a Nefesh Chaya, true, he had Nefesh Abami, but there was another aspect to Adam, which was his Das. That's why you could have Vayitzav Hashem Elokim Al Adam Lema, Mikol Eitzagon Eichol Techo. So the second reference you have to Adam is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, after he created him into a Nefesh Chaya, Nefesh Abami, then he also added the element of Das. And the proof is by Yitzhak Hashem Elokim. Okay. Animal is not that. Snake said that. Question what the Nachash, the whole big question what the Nachash it was. What the, some say it's a big machwekish we're showing with what the Nachash was. Was there really a real Nachash? Was not a Nachash. It's not going to go into the problem of Nachash. A lot of problems with Nachash. Okay.
That's right, yeah.
What's
that? Prove who's the animal.
No. Pruvu to the animals is not a tzivoy. Pruvu! Pruvu is an instinctual force. Yeah. Pruvu, don't mistake Pruvu for the animals. Fish doesn't make a decision whether it's a Pruvu. I mean, that's all shit. Some method boys. Okay. Right. Yeah, okay.
There's no problem. By Shomer's face and eat the chayim the other day, top her off.
What?
What is that mean?
I will give it to you. Okay. Now.
Don't ask me this question. Go ahead and do it.
Das Tevera. Umeita Das Tevera, Lysa Chamimenu. Why? Kibiyay Machol Chamimenu, my stomachs. Okay. My stomachs. Yeah, so here's where the Rambam brings in his well known question. One more question. Question around raises is, it says, Hikshali Chacham Echad. Somebody one time asked me. He said, how is it possible to say that a person, man, originally was commanded not to eat from Eitz HaDa'as Teva Ra? So eating from Eitz HaDa'as Teva Ra comprised a violation, right? And what happened was, the result was that it received the greatest good that man ever got, which is knowledge of the Teva Ra. So he says this will be similar to a king telling the person not to, telling people not to commit an offense, and when they do the offense, they're rewarded. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's absurd. Okay. So the Rambam answers, so the Rambam says, that, what? Question is, the question was, HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands man not to eat from, it was the Rambam. Here, I got it ready.
Why did Hashem command him not to
do that? Bring the most beneficiary
to the
hey,
stop. Hey, no. Now's good. Some years ago, a learned man asked me a question of great importance. The problem and the solution, which we gave in our reply, deserve the closest attention. Okay. And then he comes back to the question. He goes into something else. He says, it would at first sight, said the objector, appear from scripture that man was originally intended to be perfectly equal to the rest of the animal kingdom, which is not endowed with intellect, reason, the power of distinguishing between good and evil, but that Adam's disobedience to the command of God procured him that great perfection which is the peculiarity of man, which is the power of distinguishing between good and evil, the noblest of all the faculties of our nature, the essential characteristic of the human race. It does appear strange that the punishment for rebelliousness should be the means of elevating man to a pinnacle of perfection to which he had not attained previously. This is equivalent to saying that a certain man was rebellious and extremely wicked, wherefore his nature was changed for the better, and he was made to shine as a star in the heavens. He says, such was the purport and subject of the question, though not in the exact words of the inquirer. Okay. Now we're on Rambam's better words. Now he says like this. So he says, now mark our reply, which was as follows. You appear to have studied the matter superficially, and nevertheless you imagine that you can understand the book which has been the guide of past and present generations. When you for a moment withdraw from your lusts and appetites and glance over its contents as if you were reading a historical work or some poetical composition. This is the learned man. Right. Oh, what's up, Chad? They all have to cash it. First, the Ram calls him a learned man. Hikshli Chacham Echad. Now the Ram says,
fool.
Yeah, fool. So what's the chat? What's the name? No steering around. Why is that steering?
If that was fashion.
Because a learned man means that he was intelligent. The man was intelligent and he had knowledge. But he didn't apply his knowledge and his intelligence to an area where he should have. In other words, his approach to the Torah was superficial. That's why the Rambam criticizes him. Rambam criticizes him because he didn't apply his knowledge and his intellect where he should have. So it's true, he has a good brain and he has a lot of facts, but the man didn't apply it. That's what Ram criticizes. Not the other thing was his fool. He says, collect your thoughts and examine the matter carefully. He says, for it is not to be understood as you at first sight think, but as you will find after due deliberation. Namely, the intellect which was granted to man as the highest endowment was bestowed on him before his disobedience. With reference to this gift, the Bible states that man was created in the form and likeness of God. That's in the first account. On account of this gift of intellect, man was addressed by God and received his commandments, as it is said, and the Lord God commanded Adam. That's the pasuk. Vayitzav Hashem Elokim al Adam lemar. Okay. Through the intellect, man distinguishes between the true and the false. This faculty Adam possessed perfectly and completely. The right and the wrong are terms employed in the science of apparent truths, not in that of necessary truths. As, for example, it is not correct to say, in reference to the proposition the heavens are spherical, it is good, or to declare the assertion that the earth is flat to be bad. But we say of the one it is true, of the other it is false. So the world of true and false, the world of science, of knowledge, of chokhmah, that other Mauritian had before eating from the eighth of Das Tevara. What did he receive after he ate from the eighth of Das Tevara? Okay. Now let's take a look. What does the pasuk really, what did the psukim really say that he received from the eighth of Das?
What is
that? Yes.
The pasuk said that he was barred the tzal alakim, right?
Right.
He was, you know. Right. Oh, but Hashem also had morals.
No. Then Vayemar Hashem Elokim Loitev Hayesar Levade. Let's get back to the problem. So the problem is, what is the transition from the Pasuk Tezayin to Pasuk Yudches? Right? What's the transition from Pasuk Tezayin to Pasuk Yudches? Okay. So what? So Eta Das Tevarah, Eta Das Tevarah was Tevarah, as the Rambam says, as distinguished from Emes and Sheker. Emes and Sheker and Tevarah. Okay, fine. But nevertheless, there was a tzivui not to eat from that eitz. Then it says, Loitev hayes adam levade. So apparently, Loitev hayes adam levade was only afterwards. Only afterwards. How does Loitev hayes adam levade fit in afterwards? Why? Why? What happened? Before, which world was he involved in before Loitev hayes adam levade? Which world was he involved in? The world of knowledge, right? Of emes and sheker. True or false? But we find, nevertheless, that what? That he wasn't satisfied. What does it mean he wasn't satisfied? What does it mean he wasn't satisfied? So what does that mean apparently wasn't satisfied? It means one thing. It means one thing. It means the what? So what does it show you? What does it show you? It shows you one thing. What? So what does it show you? That the sum of his energy, the sum of his instinctual energy, could never be channeled all the way into the world of Emes and Sheker. You follow? Loitai ve'yoysa od vade was an indication of one thing. The what? That the sum of his intellectual energy could not be channeled somehow. Man was a hybrid. He had the nefesh chaya, right? And then he had telem lekim. Nefesh chaya and telem lekim. So nefesh chaya is the animal nature and telem lekim is the intellectual. But the energy source, one energy source, which can be used for the world of Emes and Sheker, the world of Chokhmah and knowledge, he couldn't consume it completely. Right? And therefore he was sad, he was depressed. There was a sum of energy which was not being consumed, not being used, and which was dissatisfied. So Leitev Hayes Adam Levadai. So initially HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man. What's the essence of man really? Thinking, knowledge, chachmah, tell all I can, that's the essence, right? But somehow or other, when the two were put together, tell all I can, and the nefesh chaya, what resulted was that the sum total of his instinctual, his energy, could not be used for the purpose of tell all I can, then it was like say, hey, tell all I can.
Right.
No. I told you this. I'm not explaining. I'm telling you that the order of the creation followed a natural order of events. Why God deemed it to let it follow a natural pattern is another problem altogether. I'm not dealing with that problem. I'm just saying one thing. I say that it follows a natural pattern.
What the pattern was.
Yeah. Some, in other words, like this. An example, a good example, would be the case of a furnace. Like, let's say, for instance, you have a furnace which a person uses to heat his house. So you direct the heat, you direct it mainly towards the house, right? But a lot of the heat escapes from the side. So all the heat can't be channeled in the direction where the person wants, but some of it is lost. Similarly, over here, all the energy was unable to be channeled. Therefore, he was dissatisfied. Next passage. ויצר השם אלוקים מן אדם כל חי הספר ועץ כל עוף השמיים ויובי אל אדם נירס מייקר לו וכל השיר כל אדם נפש חי הוא שמי. What does that mean? It doesn't mean it's not solid. It doesn't give them names. They just call them this and that, give them different sounds. What does it mean? Huh? What was he doing?
He was busy defining
the nature of the animals, just like it says later. Vayikra adam shemish techava. Not just to call the chava, just like this. That sound was good. Kihi oisayim kohot. So whenever Adam gave a name, the name was an indication of an idea. There was an idea behind the name. It wasn't just the name, just stamatha. It was classification. So it was involved in classification of the species, different species, classifying all the mammals.
It wasn't nothing to think about. One second. Next passage.
ויקרא אדם שמיש לכל הבהמה לעוף השמיים ולכל חיה ששדה ולאדם למצוא איזה כנגדה. So man was involved in intellectual pursuit. This isn't the only thing he was involved in. But the Torah mentions this particular pursuit of defining the nature of the animals. Other things, the whole Bria is involved in. But the Torah mentions this part. Why? Because it has something to do with ulaadam limatzah eza kinegda. What does it mean? What does it show you? Ulaadam limatzah eza kinegda. What does it show you? Then what's the connection? Chazal say, he mentioned before, Rashi says, Chazal say, Melamei Chabal, Kol Behem Achayrek, he wasn't satisfied. What did he see in the animal kingdom that he saw? Adam lay matzah eza connected. Well, of course, Adam lay matzah eza connected because there's nobody else. What does it mean? What does it show you? One thing. There was a distinction between his mating and the animals. You see? That's what it means. Adam lay matzah eza connected. It means that with the animal existence, it was totally instinctual, completely on an instinctual level. But with man, there was something else involved, that a new thing, something else was involved. What else was involved? Let's take a look. Vayapel Hashem Elokim Tadem Al Adam Vayishan Vayikach Achas Mitaloisa Vayiska Bas Tachtenav Yerushim Elokim Tzatzela Shlokov Vanan Lisha Vayviel Adam. Now, what was different between man's companion and between the animals? What was different? The relationship between the two was different. You see, in the behemoth, it involves only the physical. In man, what else was involved? What else was involved? Besides the physical, there's something else involved. What else? Yeah, no, but that's going to do with the attraction wasn't simply the physical. What was it? There's something. Take a look. What is it? Psychological. In other words, the relationship between him and Chava was different than the relationship between the behemoths. You see, on the behemoths, the only thing that was involved was the purely instinctual. But with man, it was more. There are psychological factors involved in his companionship with Chava. You understand? So it wasn't just like a mating process. It was different than a mating process. Because since man is such a complex creature, which is comprised of the intellect and the instincts, both the nefesh chaya, so due to the complexity of man, it comes out that even that the psychological areas, even the sexual areas of his life, were endowed with psychological manifestations. And if you take a look at the psukim, it's an interesting thing. What was the zeisapam etzamei atzamei avosim etzari? I mean, you have to know a little bit about some of the basic ideas of psychology. But there's the initial instinct of man first is narcissistic, which means it takes the self as a love object, and then from the self it goes to the external world. You see, that's why Chava could not have been created first together with Adam. Why? Because the attraction of Chava. That's why the psukim follow the perfect order. The attraction of Chava was the fact that she was created from Adam. That was the psychological attraction. So you la'adam le'motza eza kenegda, because there was not only the instinctual, but there was the psychological also. And therefore, it had to be after Adam was in existence by himself. Then he was able to say, Zaysapam, Etanayatan, Rosh Mitzari. But if it wasn't done that way initially, it was two separate creations, then on the contrary, then there wouldn't be any attraction at all. You see? Then it would be like the Behemoth. Then we'd have just like the Behemoth. Yeah.
But when it says the bottom of Zaysapam, that was like what the Rashi says, that you're looking at the animals for something. It's Mashmah says Zaysapam, like you're looking before when you're classifying the animals, you're looking for an attraction also.
Yeah, but he was looking. Correct. He was looking. Why couldn't he find it?
Because
there wasn't a psychological. See, that's why he couldn't find it. Doesn't mean Stamos had to be with every behemoth. Didn't find it.
Yeah,
that's so. Therefore, So what is the order now? So first, now let's see what's the logical order. You see. In other words, like this. You see, when we have in man, there's a difference between the attraction, and anyone that knows basic principles like that, there's an attraction of man, attraction of animal. Because in man, the psychological plays a large role in the attraction.
Right?
Okay. You understand what I mean? Okay. Now, let's take a look at the order now. So first Adam was created, the purpose of Adam was really what? Then what happened was he wasn't able to use all his energy for that area, so something was lacking. Correct? But what was lacking? Chava. But Chava could not have been created simultaneously with Adam. Why? Because due to Adam's nature, that he was a combination of Chochmah and Tzelem Elokim and Nefesh Chaya, his mate had to be in a different scale, a different type altogether. So it had to be the type which satisfied a psychological need as well. And that's a law that we must say is a kinegdai. That's why she couldn't be created simultaneously with Adam, right? Okay, so the order is very good. Right. Now, just one more basic point. And that is, so what happened? So now she's involved in the tivoli also. And then what happens was that the chait. So what happened at the chait? What was the big thing with the chait?
We'll get into that.
Okay. Now what happened with the chait? So let's take a look at the psukim. I mean, before with the Rambam, with all the mufarshim, but let's take a look. Sometimes you look at all the mufarshim, forget to look at the pasuk. What does the pasuk say? What really occurred to Adam after the chait? What does the pasuk say?
He covered up
his body. He covered up his body. So what did he have after the chait? What was it? Shame. Correct? The emotion of shame was added, which comes from one of the components of the mind of the human being, which is the conscience, what people call conscience. Alright? Conscience is something which people have. It's part of the human mind. So before that time, from conscience is generated shame. Before that time, he didn't experience shame. The whole emotion was alien to him. Right? Okay. So let's understand. So what happened? So apparently he still wasn't complete. You see, the whole process was a process of creation. First Adam, then Chava, it all followed natural order. Then the chait, and after the chait it was necessary to have conscience. Why? Why was it necessary to have conscience after the chait? Before the chait it wasn't necessary. Why? Before it was on a higher level, so there was no need. What does conscience do? Conscience is a counterbalance. You see, the mind is constantly at war. There's one part of the mind which desires the evil, turn Yetzirah Hara, Shnei Yetzirah. Then there's Yetzirah Tov. What is Yetzirah Tov? Yetzirah Tov is the other part that counters that emotion. So there's really two counting emotions, and the mind is right in between. You see? The mind is right in between. Now, a person can't follow, even when we call the Yetzer HaTayv, a person can't follow the Yetzer HaTayv either. That's why Chazal say, v'chol levavacha v'chol nafshacha, so it says, v'shtei Yitzchacha, Chazal say. With Yetzer HaTayv and Yetzer Hara. Why? Because the mind has to distinguish which emotion is the correct one. Yetzer HaTayv is one group of emotions, Yetzer Hara is another group. But both of them really are it's no good per se, it's wrong right. It's just that these two emotions have to be used. The mind has to decide which is the proper one at the proper time. That says, b'shnei Yitzchacha, you should serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How can you serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Yetzer Hara, everybody has to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No, The way the, it means these two opposite emotions, you have to know when to use each one. So when Adam sinned, he was reduced to a lower level. It was necessary then to counter. Before that, he only had the emotion. He had two things. He had intellect, plus he had the emotional desire, the nefesh chaya. There had to be something to counter the nefesh chaya. So what was introduced to counter the nefesh chaya? The conscience, the yetzer tov, that part which is shame, the busha. So that emotion was used to counter the basic nefesh chaya. What?
But he had the woman for that.
What do you mean?
That's only an outlet for the...
That was nothing with the conscience. That was the desire. He had to know it. There's two things. First of all, there's the knowledge, chachma, right? Then the point is there was no outlet for the energy. So for that he had chachma, right? Then he was reduced due to the chait, so he needed another force in order that he should be free to decide when to use this energy. And then how the outlet should take place. What did you do? When? I mean, otherwise it'd be wild and rampant. So after the chait was necessary to introduce conscience in order to counter the nefesh chaya. You see? You understand like this? In other words, let's put it this way. The nefesh chaya had two adjustments. What was the first adjustment? There was an attempt that he should use all his... That didn't work. So therefore, what was necessary?
So then
he has an outlet. But then he could still go
the wrong way.
The wrong way. So what? After the chait, before the chait, okay. After the chait.
Right.
Like,
so once you have an outlet, that's the only time you have to
pass
that
fucking
go the wrong way.
We'll soon see about it, but anyway, we're gonna get there. So therefore what?
I just want to understand, you say if you had an outlet, could go the wrong way.
I'm gonna have to define that a little later. What precisely happened? Outward, wrong way, before it. Yes.
What do you mean
it was reduced
after that?
That's what I want to go into. Let's get the broad outline now, then we'll go into that a little later. What exactly it means. What state of mind was he before the chait? What state was he after the chait? Precisely what's the difference? That's a hard area. But let's just understand what the Torah says happened. What the Torah says happened was that a new constellation of the mind came into existence, namely that of conscience. Right? Why was it necessary? Because after the chait, there had to be a countering force to the desire of the nefesh chaya. Okay? All right. Then it says, that's why it says, Vayikra Adam Shem Ishtei Chava, Ki Hi Yoseim Kol Chai. What does it show? Vayikra Adam, he went back to what? He went back to categorization again. You see, there was an interruption in his intellectual progression. First he was an intellectual, right? Then, what happened? Then when he was classifying the behemoths. Then you have the interruption with the chait. Once he was reduced by the chait, then he wasn't an intellectual man anymore. He wasn't the Tzelem Elokim anymore. Then what happened? Then what was introduced? Conscience, shame. Then he was able to go back. Why? In simply, let me just simply listen. All we're saying is like this. That by the chait, what happened by the chait was this. The nefesh chaya overpowered the Tzelem Elokim. Now in order, that in the chait, the nefesh chaya overpowered the Tzelem Elokim. Once the nefesh chaya overpowered the Tzelem Elokim, so they had to have another counter force to knock it down. Therefore the Tzelem Elokim can operate, but it wasn't operating as before. The first case, he just had the Tzelem Elokim and the nefesh chaya, and he was operating with the Tzelem Elokim. Once the chait took place, what happened? The nefesh chaya overpowered the Tzelem Elokim. In order to be saved from that fate, what was necessary? That there should be introduced a counter force. Once the counter emotional force was introduced, the Yetzer Tov was introduced, then he was able to go back, Vayikra Adam Shem Ishtei Chava, and go back to his old existence. You see? So all we're saying is that the whole system, this is a natural progression. You understand? Is there any difficulties?
Yeah.
Simply, first you had Tzelem Elokim, Nefesh Chaya. He was functioning with Nefesh Chaya. He was functioning with Nefesh Chaya and Tzelem Elokim, but what happened? He was unable to use up all the energy, right?
Yeah.
So therefore, then what happened? The Nefesh Chaya overpowered Tzelem Elokim. That was the chait. I told you, we don't know the details yet. That's what I wanted to add, what exactly took place. But insofar as what we know at this point, we just know the Nefesh Chaya overpowered the Tzelem Elokim. How it did it, we don't know. I don't know how it did. But that's what the Torah tells us. And after that, the change in man, new thing was added. conscience was added to man in order to protect him from the fate of having the Nefesh Chaya always overpowering someone with him. You understand the principle, there's no such thing as an einish, really. HaKadosh Baruch Hu never gives a person an einish, punishes a person, gives a person harm, torture, pain. Every einish is done for one purpose, in order to benefit a person. But there's no such thing as a childish idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu... When HaKadosh Baruch Hu, after the Chet of Adam, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He helped him. He wasn't as great as before. He was in a better condition before, but he still helped him in the condition he was. Yes. Okay. Right? Is it clear? Does everybody understand? Clear? Okay. Right. Certain gaps over here that we didn't bother with, we didn't deal with. You can't deal with every problem at one time. And even though you might have the emotion to solve every problem at one time, it's not a very practical way to go about it. You have to control that emotion. So, we let it go. We stopped at that point. But which point is really interesting? Which is the most, of the whole order of events, first he was created, and then he had electric energy, and then there was another fate that he suffered, that he was completely overpowered by the Nefesh HaBaham, the Nefesh HaChaya. Which is the interesting point? Which point is interesting? Which point is most interesting concerning man? Concerning man. Yes. The what? What would your intellectual curiosity, where would it drive you in terms of knowledge of man's nature? And what part of the whole Sipra Maisa? Let's say the first part was that he was intellectual. Okay, Nefesh Chaya, combination. Then what happened was that he had this natural event that he couldn't use all the energy. Okay, but then what happened after that? The chayt is an interesting phenomenon. Because in the chayt, he goes from one stage to another. The question is, how does the transition take place? How does it change? How was he before? We see after the chayt, what did he need after the chayt? He needed the conscience. He needed to have another part added to his nature in order to protect him so that he can operate. Right? Oh. But how was he before and how was he later? I mean, what's the change? What exactly is the change? That is the area that has to be defined.
Yes.
How did he do a chayt? This question people always ask, how can he be so perfect? Somebody just mentioned the Shabbos. If Adam was so perfect, God created Adam perfect, so how can he do a chayt? What's the answer? Yeah, Bechira. Of course, right, exactly. Because once you see, if he was perfect, insofar as Adam, insofar as man was concerned, and the perfection of man is a being that has Bechira, right? That's the nature of man. So insofar as the most perfect man, and man has Bechira. So therefore, since he did the chayt only manifested one thing, that he had Bechira. Nothing wrong with Bechira. Bechira means inherently he can make the wrong choice. On the contrary. He's the best guess. Right. That's a qualitative reason. Okay. So the question is, so that's no question because of Bechira, so therefore he sinned. That's not imperfection, that's because of man. It was his choice. Okay. But the question is, you see, that point is no difficulty, but the difficulty is this, that after this sin, you see that he needed something new, a new part had to be added to his nature, that he had to sense shame and have a new area added to his mind, so then there must have been not just the Maisa Vera. But the Maisa Vera caused a change in the man. What was the change? You see? Okay. Let's take a look at what the Rambam says. Rambam's like this. He says, when Adam was yet in a state of innocence and was guided solely by reflection and reason, on account of which it is said, thou hast made him little lower than the angels, he was not at all able to follow or to understand the principles of apparent truths. The most manifest impropriety, which is to appear in a state of nudity, was nothing unbecoming according to his idea. He could not comprehend why it should be so. After man's disobedience, however, when he began to give way to desires which had their source in his imagination and to gratification of his bodily appetite, as it is said, and the wife saw that the tree was good for food and delightful to the eyes, in other words, what the Vatera Isha Kitaiva Islamachal, the Chisava Ulainayim, the Nechmad Piriel Askil, Vatikach Miras, what does it show you? All the whole pasuk over there, all those descriptions shows you one thing. It's one thing. What does it represent? Taiva. Then, after his obedience, when he gave way to his desires, and which had the source in his imagination, and to the gratification of his bodily appetites, it is said, I'm going to pause. He was punished by the loss of part of that intellectual faculty which he had previously possessed. Okay, he therefore transgressed the command with which he had been charged on the score of his reason, and having obtained the knowledge of the apparent truths, he was wholly absorbed in the study of what is proper and what is improper. Then he fully understood the magnitude of the loss he had sustained, what he had forfeited, and in what situation he was thereby placed. Hence we read, and ye shall be like Elohim, knowing good and evil, and not knowing or discerning the true and the false. Okay. While in necessary truths, we can only apply the words true and false, not good and evil. All right. So what is the Rambam saying? The question is, I mean, here he has a few words over here. It doesn't really, he says like this. You see, if you're going to say, he says once he gave way, later, so it comes out that later he had the desire, right? When he gave way, so then he had the bodily desire. So what did he have before? How could he be a chayte before? How could he be a chayte before? If after eating from the Eta Das Teva Raw, that's when he got the bodily desires, he gave way, and then he came to a lower level. So before that, he didn't have bodily desires, right? If he didn't have bodily desires before that, so how could he be a chayte? How could he be a chayte?
He didn't channel his energy.
What
do you mean? Happened?
Before. And what was afterwards?
I mean, before he did channel, all the intellect, right?
First of all, we find before that what?
He couldn't.
Apparently he couldn't channel it all into Chachma, because later he said in Levada. Okay. Then you see he was depressed, then something bothered. Then what do you see later? So later, the Ram says he had the bodily, he gave way to the bodily lust and desire. So how could he be chayte before? So there must be, he must have had something before, but not as much as later. Quantitative factor. It is a qualitative factor. Total different change. Not just a little more, a little less, but it's a difference.
How the energy's operating.
Yes, go ahead.
I mean, originally it operated only, but it wasn't fixated in the same.
Yeah.
It only went to the same, so if you have these energy for our intellectual pursuits.
Yeah.
At this point, the energy became fixated having this for an end.
Okay, let's see.
As long as the energy is
free, for an end.
In other words, it doesn't want the physical just so the energy won't be frustrated.
Yeah.
The energy is fixated just merely having the physical for its own ends.
And before.
And originally it just wants physical,
let's take a look at Rambam. Rambam says. He says two things. First of all, he says he gave way at first. When the Rambam described the chait, when he began to give way to desires which had their source in his imagination, he says. So the first it was imagination, right? Okay. Then later he says, after the chait, he says, he was wholly absorbed in the study of what is proper and what is improper. Then he fully understood the magnitude of the loss he sustained. Now what happened? What's the change? Why do you call it imagination? What does it mean imagination? What does it mean by imagination? What does imagination mean? Ram says it gave way to the original chay was because of his imagination. What is imagination? What is imagination? What is imagination? But what does imagination result from? If you remember on Sunday we discussed many of the proofs of the why a person who lives at Derech HaTorah has the best life. And a person who lives at Derech HaChayim of knowledge has the most enjoyable life. And we said one of the last proofs that we mentioned was that you could tell how happy a person is by how much he lives in the present and how much he lives in the future, right? And insofar as he lives in the future, we say he's unhappy. Insofar as he lives in the present, he is happy, for a very simple reason. Because by living in the present, he utilizes all his energy. So there's no energy left. But when a person starts living in the future, it comes from unhappiness in the present. Today he's making $10,000, right? He's unhappy. So what happens? So he has to think, next year I'll make $20,000. Right? Year after I'll make $30,000. Oh, what is it? It shows the projection, the world of fantasy, the world of unreality is caused by the fact that in reality right now, there is no satisfaction. You follow? So therefore, the happiest man is the man that doesn't think about the future, but the man that thinks about the present. Because he's completely involved, and all his energy is completely involved in what he is living now. He's living now. But the one who has plans and all kinds of things, on the contrary, he's in a state of frustration. So therefore, his gratification must be of an imaginary nature. And he thinks of the daydream. What is daydreaming? Daydreaming is basically that function. What is daydreaming? It means that he's frustrated now, so he thinks of situations and imagines situations, and he derives an imaginary gratification. It's not as good as the real one, but he has no choice at that time. That's what he needs. Okay. So when we say imagination, what does it mean, imagination? Imagination means one thing. What? That he wasn't fulfilled. So imagination means that the desire, he didn't use up all the energy, and it set up imaginary type of situations, imaginary thoughts. The imaginary thoughts, of course, pertain to what? Pertain to the Eitz HaDaas Tov HaRa. That's where the imagination came in. The whole imagination of it, this is going to be the Yeshua, right? Ah, the overestimation, right. Okay. What happened afterwards? That's before the Chayit. What happens after the Chayit? After the Chayit, he says, he's involved completely in the world of good and evil. Why is he involved? Why is he involved completely in the world of good and evil? That was not before. Why? Why is he involved? Yeah, why?
Because before he didn't have since there was only before the influx, only through the guy the energy, right? So worship for the energy. So there was only a question of sure cause.
Yeah.
And afterwards, where direction of the energy was not was turned on by influx, but also by the conscious. So what's the conscious? Yes.
No. Forget about that. No. He's not talking about the conscious is the counterforce. He's talking about the bodily desires. You see, the thing is like this. What is the
difficulty?
He's satisfied now.
What is the difficulty? What is the
bodily desires that are working on their own desire when the energy should flow? Whereas it wasn't truly the intellect that said, well, should I put the energy here or there?
Originally the energy flowed where? To thought. Then what happened? The excess was used. Well, the excess started to get involved in the imagination, right? Afterwards, what happened? Anybody has to do is just examine your own life. What happened afterwards? You can see yourself. What happened afterwards? Initially, it flows where? Into the physical. Initially, it flows into the physical. Very good. It flows into the physical. But only through the process of withdrawal is just the opposite, exactly the opposite situation. You see, a mental phenomenon takes place now exactly the opposite of before. Initially, what happened was imagination. Why? Because it flowed into thought, and then the excess was used in imagination. But initially, where was the flow? Into the world. Which world? The world of true or false, of intellect. Later, after the chait, it was just the opposite. Initially, it flowed where? Into the physical desires. The most difficult, why, what prevents a person from, what's the most difficult thing, and why do so few people reach perfection? Because of one thing. They could never withdraw from where the emotion initially goes to, where the energy goes to initially. They can't make that withdrawal. If they could make the withdrawal, then they can experience the enjoyment of the world of Chokhmah. But they can't do it because they can't pull away. The difficulty is pulling away. One philosopher said, he says, why? He says, because from early youth, he says, we're trained, the energy is trained to go towards the physical. All the person is raised on taivas, all the whole instinctual life. The Gemara says, what does the Gemara say? Ki yetzer leiv adam ra min ura. What does it mean? That the yetzer is 13 years ahead. 13 years head start. Why? Because why is the kid of a yetzer? Why is the kid pure yetzer? Why is the kid pure yetzer? Because it's all instinctual. It means that the energy flows directly towards the physical. Then later he has to start removing it from the physical. You see? And then using it for chokhmah. So the difference in the state of Adam before the Chet and after the Chet was one thing. Before was only in his imagination. What does it mean, his imagination? It means that initially it was flawed to intellect, and then later, then after the intellect, so then it was a residue, which was in his, but it was never fixated yet. It was never fixated yet to what? To the physical, to the physical tivets. Right. Once he tasted from the Eitz Hadas Tevara, then what happened? Then initially the instinct became fixated to
those five days into it.
Right. And there's a midrash that says,
what would be imagination?
The imagination means that it wasn't fixated to the taifa itself. In other words,
what would be imagination?
I'll answer. No, he's imagining enjoyment. In general, because in other words,
he had no knowledge of any type of other enjoyment.
No, that's not true. You see, on the contrary, you see, he lived with a little cover. Why didn't he become fixated at that point? That's a good question. Question is now, this is the important question. So if that's the case, since we see that already experienced taiva, right? But we say that it was only as a residue, right? But it wasn't initially fixated to it. So why didn't the moment he lived with Chava, why didn't he become completely fixated? Why was it the Achila from Eitz Das Teva Ra? On this, there are two things. If you take a look, the Evan Ezra says that what was the Eitz Das Teva Ra? The Eitz Das Teva Ra wasn't the... He argues with the Medrash. The Medrash said that it was a fig tree or something else. He says it was a separate Eitz which caused man to have an additional Taiva. Taiva San Mishgal. He says it gave a new dimension to his sexual enjoyment. And interestingly enough, there is another Medrash that corroborates it. The Medrash says, gracious Rabbi, the Medrash says, Vayeda Adam Oid Es Ishtai. Oid Es Ishtai. Rashi brings it down, but it doesn't bring down the full Medrash. What does Rashi say? Vayeda Adam Oid Es Ishtai. So what does Rashi say? Shenetaisef loy taiva al taiva. Take a look at Rashi. Vayeda Adam Oid Es Ishtai. Rashi is on Pasik Chofei. Perek Dala Pasik Chofei. Perek Dala Pasik Chofei.
What does it mean?
Where are you? What does it mean? Yeah, what does Chazal say?
Add a taiva
to taiva. What does it mean? A new dimension of taiva. When did that dimension of taiva come? From the after the Eitz Hadas Teva Ra. Well, it was mentioned over here because for 130 years it wasn't atzvus. I didn't know anything. It was depressed. But then when he came back, so in the place of taiva al taiva, and the Medrash Rabbah explains in what way? What does it mean the place of taiva? In what way? He had a new taiva. So the Medrash says like this. An interesting Medrash. Medrash says, what pasuk is that again? Pasuk Chafei, Parashat Dalet. Medrash Rabba, yeah.
You needed something to awaken.
Oh. What?
You needed something to awaken it here. In this conversation between Lamech and Adam, right?
Yes.
And immediately, Adam's title.
Yeah. Here it is. Vayeda Adam Es Ishtai. Netzaisif lo taiva al taiva. It's like this. Lisha avar im loy hoya roya, loy hoya misava. Achsha bain roya bain she'ena roya hu misava. What's the difference? Lisha avar im loy hoya roya, loy hoya misava. Achsha bain roya bain she'ena roya. So initially the taiva had to be generated through external stimuli. You see? But later it didn't require external stimuli. What does that show you? Basically, what does it mean? It means simply that originally, what does it mean? What's the definition? Originally, the taifa required in loy hoya roya, loy hoya misave. So what was required in order to have a taifa for chavo? He required the stimulus, correct? You had to see it first. But then later, no, even without seeing it, the taifa was there. So what does it show you? What does it mean? What's the difference? What's basically the difference? The difference is where the energy goes to begin with. You see, before it didn't go in that direction. You see? Unless an event came to place. But initially it didn't go towards that area. But later the flow is traveled directly. So therefore, in order for him to be involved in Chokmah, what was necessary? To remove it. To remove it and rechannel it, you see? That's the basis of the marriage. That's the Chorus Rashi brings down. Rashi doesn't mention the full marriage, he only mentions the first part. The Sitzach HaChacham brings down the rest of the marriage. Marriage Rabbah. So yeah. So basically, so the difference is in one word. What's the difference? So the difference between Adam Kaidem Achait and Adam Lachar Achait is one thing. What's the difference? Where it goes?
Initially.
That's why later, in the beginning, he didn't have to be involved in the world of Teva Ra. Why didn't he have to be involved in the world of Teva Ra? Because initially the energy traveled immediately to the world of Chachma. So there's no need to.
Everything he did
was Chachma. Later, after the Chait, so then he was reduced to a lower level where the energy goes immediately to what? To the area of Teva Ra. So then he had to start working in all different ways. He had to get out of the world of Teva Ra. And what to do? All different things. I have to stop this because I have to do this in order to get into the world of Chachma. Then that's what the Rambam means. He perceived what he missed. What he lost. What was the loss? A tremendous loss. He lost the whole world of Chachma. Now there were barriers. He had to get involved in all kinds of removal of barriers in order to make sure that he gets back to the world of Chachma. But before he didn't have that problem. It was constantly a world of Teva of Emes and Sheker. Yeah.
That was punishment, right?
Now, how come he also had to go to the school punishment? And why he had to work?
I'll tell you, you work on that. No, it's not that difficult. Why he had to work? Because if he's involved in physical, then he's going to have these problems. The answer is not to be involved in physical.
So why was the Bezeis Pekat HaLachem? Why do you have to get involved
in the physical? If he wants the physical, then he's going to have to... This will deter him from going to the physical.
Why? Because, on the contrary, now he needs to be... if he's free completely... Then the energy will go to all kinds of crazy things. There's another deterrent, another way to deterrent. And he must be involved in this thing, so therefore he moves. But a person who's on a high level, really? Oh, that's that Sheva Levi. That's Ram's Sheva Levi. Sheva Levi never works. Sheva Levi doesn't have the klala because they're involved completely in the world of Chachma. Not only Sheva Levi, but anyone that wants to do it can reach that level.
So what does he mean when he says that he lost?
That's a loss.
No, he's still
alive.
He just has to go. I think it's the
lot of
the world of
Chumah Kol.
He just has to.
Anochim be'en. It says shnei etzim. He deserves Gan Eden. Ve'enam b'makam acher al kol pnei adama. Vo'echad etadas. Vehu yoyli taivas hamishgal. Alkein kisu adam ve'ishte ervasam. You see? Okay. So he says vehu yoyli taivas hamishgal means that it adds to the enjoyment of the sexual. Action, you see? Oh. So what does that show you? That shows you one thing. It shows that after he ate from the eighth of Das, so there was a new dimension added to the sexuality.
Which wasn't there before.
And that's why, through the addition of that, once that was added, that created the fixation. You see, that brought the fixation. That's why the Medrash says later that before he acquired a stimulus, later it did. All right. You see?
You mentioned the equality of the act.
I don't know if it's logic in that way.
No, but you're explaining how did it become fixated?
Because of the added dimension.
I mean, it required a certain amount of pleasure.
Certain amount of pleasure to cause fixation.
When you didn't have that amount,
it's true before you had sex, but it wasn't the same thing as later.
Right.
The way the Medrash describes by Yishin, now that's how it works with the Chachma. You know what I mean? That when he sees the Chachma, he's drawn to it. But when he doesn't see it, it goes the other way.
Yeah, that's
the absolute analogous. The question is where the energy went initially. So initially, before the Chait, initially it went to Chachma. Right. Then when he saw Chava, it was driven away.
Right?
He accepts it. But now it works just the opposite. That before it goes to the Taiva. And the only time it's pulled away from the Taiva is when you see the other one.
Before, the only time it was...
Right. Okay, so now the question is, why did he eat from the Eitz Das? So we must say that there was a certain amount of unsatisfied, libido, which he was, that was the mitzvah, to control that unsatisfied libido. Now what he did with that unsatisfied libido was that he gave it satisfaction. And once he gave it satisfaction, it became fixated and then it became reduced.
That's fantastic.
Rashi was to master that little bit of pain that he had.
When did you have this
one? This explains another interesting point also. Rashi says that why there are two accounts. So Rashi says one first tells you the general picture and then tells you the details. So why over here are the details? The answer is because Adam really was responsible for creating himself. When he sinned through his Bechira, a new thing was added to his nature. So that's why I had to have a separate parasha to explain it, because it was a totally new thing that Adam was responsible for his own creation. Also, we said that today also man is responsible for his own creation, because through Bechira, man makes himself, molds his soul, he models his soul, and molds his soul into a new entity.
To formulate the problems in enumeration, in understanding enumeration, what are the main difficulties you have? Main difficulties. And a lot of them are common questions. Yes?
What's
the chet? In other words, Mamanasha. We understand that after the chet, he was reduced. His Yetzer Hara became stronger, right? So how could he be a chet before? The Chazal say that there's a difference before. Was he in a pure state before? Then he couldn't sin. He wasn't in a pure state before, so then what's the difference before and after? Alright? In other words, if he was in a pure state, apparently we learned that before he was in a pure state, and now he was reduced to a lower level. Okay, so you can understand chet afterwards, but what's chet, how could chet occur before, yes?
Can I interpret the question as being
that... Why? The Yetzer was external, and now the Yetzer was internalized, right? Okay, what exactly does it mean? We have to understand what it means. The second thing we have to understand is what are the changes that occur to him? What exactly occur to Adam Arishan? I mean, certain changes occur. And then the third thing is that we have to understand is how these changes are related to the whole scheme of the creation. Because the Torah goes out of its way to put this, not just simply a mice with Adam Arishan, but the mice of Adam Arishan is tied into the Bryas Olam. It's tied into Bryas Olam. Because you see, when the Esther gets finished with Sheish Mei Breishis, so it says, Eila Tilde Sashamayim V'Oretz B'Yiborim, B'Yoyim Asay Sarashem Alekim Eretz Hashamoyim, B'Chol Siach Asad Atarim Yivoretz, B'Chol Eisav Asad Atarim Yitzmach, V'Yi Tzor Hashem Alekim Yato Adam Ofer Min Adoma, V'Yi Pach Pap Av Nishmas Chayim, V'Yi Adam Nefesh Chaya. So, you see that the Torah, it's not just a simply an incident, like we learned about before, about Sdaim and Light, but this incident is integrally related to Bryas Adam, right? Of course, this was a makim that because of this, the Bible critics were the first ones to jump in this area. So it looks like two accounts of creation over here. Two accounts of creation. Chazal say, of course, that it's one account, but later it's telling you what happened before. But we have to understand why. So apparently the Sipur HaMaisa of Adam Rishon wasn't just a Sipur HaMaisa, but it's tied in with creation. And the fact that it's tied in with creation is underlined by one fact. What is that? What is the fact? The difference, Rashi says in the beginning, in Bereshit, the difference between the use of Elohim in the first account and then the use of Arashem Elohim in the second account. Arashem Elohim. Why in the first account do you have Elohim and in the second account do you have Arashem Elohim? So what's the answer? There's a difference between Elohim and Arashem Elohim. What is Elohim? Elohim is? Midas Adin. And Hashem Elohim is? Midas HaRachamim. Okay. That itself we have to understand. First of all, we have to understand why is the second account more Rachamim than the first account? In the contrary, where's the Enish given? Where's the Enish given when? Second account. The Enish wasn't given. There's no Enishim in the first account. So the first account doesn't have any din. Why is the first account din? Why is the second account Rachamim? And we have to understand also insofar as the very concept of Midas HaDin and Midas HaRachamim. What does that mean? What does it mean? I mean, Kadosh Baruch Hu has two things in front of him that he operates with, two mechanisms. And Hashem Achor Shema Yachod. Kadosh Baruch Hu is only, his oneness cannot even be perceived there. But it's because it's a oneness which is not tied to the physical. My concept of oneness is always, we always have in mind, in the back of mind, a physical object. So you can't say Kadosh Baruch Hu has two compartments. One is Midas and then one is Midas HaRachamim. And then we'd have a problem even if we shouldn't say that it's in HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, which of course it can't be, but if you're going to tell me that there's two ways in which he operates, it would be difficult to understand that he operates in terms of justice and in terms of mercy. I mean, what is the correct way? If justice is correct, so then it's not the place for mercy. If mercy is the correct thing, so then it's not the place for justice. I mean, you can't have both. I mean, there's two types of justice. I mean, what is the just thing? What is the best thing? When a Kadosh Baruch Hu does something to a person, it must be the best thing for him. And that is the sole criterion. It is the best thing for him, so it has to be just, it has to be merciful. You can't say that this act is just and it's not merciful, and this act is merciful and it's not just. I mean, this is ridiculous. There has to be only one, obviously, there must only be one thing which is good for the individual, and that thing must be both just and merciful. Can't be both. Oh. Okay. Let's take a look at the Rambam. The Rambam really, really opens up the area. But you need a few principles before you understand exactly what he means. Everybody, I think, is aware of the famous question that the Rambam mentions at the beginning of the Maran Avochim. I'll read it quickly again. Anyone that doesn't know it? All right, okay. Years ago, a learned man asked me a question of great importance. The problem and the solution which we gave in our reply deserve the closest attention. All right? Now he goes into the homonymity. All right, but let's take the question. This is the question. It would at first sight, said the objector, appear from Scripture that man was originally intended to be perfectly equal to the rest of the animal creation, which is not endowed with intellect, reason, or power of distinguishing between good and evil, but that Adam's disobedience to the command of God procured him that great perfection which is the peculiarity of man, which is the power of distinguishing between good and evil, the noblest of all faculties of our nature, the essential characteristic of the human race. It thus appears strange that the punishment for rebelliousness should be the means of elevating man to a pinnacle of perfection to which he had not attained previously. This is equivalent to saying that a certain man was rebellious and extremely wicked, wherefore his nature was changed for the better, and he was made to shine as a star in the heavens. Okay? Right? Good kasha, huh? Good kasha. Ah, what's new later? I want you to get an evil. And yet Adam Rishon didn't know it, until he did an Avera. The Avera gave him this wonderful perception. Such was the purport and the subject of the question, though not in the exact words of the inquirer. Now mark our reply, which was as follows. You appear to have studied the matter superficially, and nevertheless you imagine that you can understand the book, which has been the guide of past and present generations, when you for a moment withdraw from your lusts and appetites and glance over its content as if you were reading a historical work or some poetical composition. Collect your thoughts and examine the matter carefully, for it is not to be understood as you at first sight think, but as you will find after due deliberation. Alright? Okay, so one of them first asks that first the Ram calls him a big kocham, then he tells him he's a big tippish. What's the answer? The question was a good one. The question showed reason. And we don't have the whole letter they wrote the Rambam. But it was obvious to the Rambam that the man was an intelligent man and a learned man. The only mistake was, his mistake was insofar as knowledge of Torah was concerned. That area he didn't have any knowledge. He thought, he looked at it superficially, because he didn't have one important thing. He didn't have one concept. Namely, that the Torah is a very deep book, and it cannot be treated superficially. You see, but that doesn't mean you can't say he's not learned. He's learned, but insofar as this is concerned, he's making it totlura. And that is the error that prevented him from seeing the idea over here. Because he looked at it superficially. No, that's something else. Okay. The act which was granted to man as the highest endowment was bestowed on him before his disobedience. With reference to this gift, the Bible states that man was created in the form and likeness of God. On account of this gift of intellect, man was addressed by God and received his commandments, as it is said. And the Lord God commanded Adam. For no commandments are given to the brute creation or to those who are devoid of understanding. You can't have a tzivos. V'yetzav ad Hashem Elokim al Adam lemor mikol eitz hagon ochel tevel v'me'etz hadas tevel etzehel mimenu pen zigilu l'antavu. Okay. So the tzivos, the command, and I would assume every mitzvah is not just a simple mitzvah. Mitzvah is also, as we know mitzvahs, the mitzvah of Kadosh Baruch Hu are precise and formulated and are conceptual. And Adam Rishon's first mitzvah was the same way. Adam Rishon couldn't understand the mitzvah conceptually if he didn't have any mind. So obviously the man had a mind, had an intellect. Okay. And the answer like this. Through the intellect, man distinguishes between the true and the false. This faculty Adam possessed perfectly and completely. The right and the wrong are terms employed in the science of apparent truth, not in that of necessary truth. As, e.g., it is not correct to say, in reference to the proposition, the heavens are spherical, it is good. or to declare the assertion that the earth is flat to be bad. But we say of the one it is true, and the other it is false. Similarly, our language expresses the idea of true and false by the terms emes and sheker, of the morally right and the morally wrong, by tov and ra. Thus, it is the function of the intellect to discriminate between the true and the false, a distinction which is applicable to all objects of intellectual perception. When Adam was yet in a state of innocence and was guided solely by reflection and reason, on account of which it says, in Tillim, thou hast made him little lower than the angels, he was not at all able to follow or to understand the principles of the apparent truth. The most manifest impropriety to appear in a state of nudity was nothing unbecoming, according to his idea. He could not comprehend why it should be so. After man's disobedience, however, when he began to give way to desires which had their source in his imagination, and to the gratification of his bodily appetites, as it is said, and the wife saw that the tree was good for food and delightful to the eyes, he was punished by the loss of part of that intellectual faculty which he had previously possessed. He therefore transgressed a command with which he had been charged on the score of his reason, and having obtained the knowledge of the apparent truth, he was wholly absorbed in the study of what is proper and what improper. Then he fully understood the magnitude of his loss, of the loss he had sustained, what he had forfeited, and in what situation he was thereby placed. Okay? That's the essence of the Rambam's Torah. Okay, I think more people understand the kasha than the Torah. Torah's a little bit understand. What does that really mean? What does it mean? It's true. It is true what he's saying, that true and false, you say insofar as science, correct? Good and evil, you wouldn't say it's good that the world is round, right? That the evil of the world is flat. That's true. But you could say it is true that if I do this, I will harm myself. You could say it is true that if I do this, it is not good. I mean, the question is, where exactly do you draw the line? I mean, true and false could be used insofar as the other science are concerned also. It's good, it is true that if you do this, it is good. It's not true, it's false. If you do this, it's harmful. It's bad. What exactly does it mean? What does it not mean? Okay. Yeah. Let's understand what exactly took place. What exactly happened to Adam and Rishon? Okay? Now, the first thing was he received the commandment that he shouldn't eat from the Eitz HaDaas Tevara. Correct? Okay. What happened, what occurred? He did eat from the Eitz HaDaas Tevara. And once he ate from the Eitz HaDaas Tevara, two changes took place. Alright? Now, the changes, we must understand the changes that took place in order to understand what exactly the Rambam is talking about. One change that took place is obvious in the pasuk. What's the change that took place? Yep. He realized that he was naked. Okay. What was that? What happened over there? What does it mean? But the pachachna ene shnei vayedik yerumim. Even the Summa knows that they were one is mine. Elamar vayeduk yerumim him mitzvah achas haya biyadam. V'nisad lo emenu. They had one mitzvah and they lost it. One mitzvah and they lost it. It's interesting. You have to understand how the Chazal had a merish fitzum with the pasuk. But let's take the Eved Ezra mentions in the beginning of Echa. It's like Zomar Echa that every medrash, if it looks like something that's extraneous, something superadded to the pasuk, you don't understand the pasuk. Because once you understand the pasuk, see how all the midrashim fit right in. What happened over here? What occurred? Yes.
First of all,
the pasuk doesn't say, but that's true. But what does the pasuk say? The pasuk says one thing. Now what? The pasuk says that a new faculty, something new, occurred in his psyche. A new dimension. A new dimension was added to his mind, to his mental apparatus. What was the new dimension? What was the new dimension? What did he feel? What was the feeling? The feeling of shame. Correct. The feeling of shame. Now that feeling of shame comes from a certain faculty of the mind. You see? The mind can think, can produce thoughts, can understand concepts. That's a faculty, the logical faculty of the mind. Correct? There is in man instinctual desires. If there are instinctual desires, then there must be a faculty in man which produces these instinctual desires. Correct? Now, when there is shame, the moment that he felt shame, what does this mean? What does this mean? That a new faculty was produced. A faculty which made him feel ashamed. Made him feel ashamed. You see? Now this faculty that made him feel ashamed, can we identify it? What is it exactly? Do we have it today? Do we have it today? And assume we have it called conscience. 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 So at first, the conscience, apparently the root of the conscience is insofar as the sexual area is concerned. That's why Vayedu Ki Arumimein, because that's the source of the conscience. It remains that way. That's the way it is. The source of the conscience is due to the closely related to the shame is closely related to the sexual area. That's why I felt ashamed that I was naked. But the conscience doesn't just remain in that area. The conscience, that same feeling, expresses itself not only in regard to sexual matters, but expresses itself in regard to other matters as well. That's why Rashi brings down, what does Chazal say? Chazal say, what does it mean? Afasumi adekishuar. What do you mean? Pekach neinish neim, and now he realizes he's naked. A blind man knows when he's naked. You feel it. The Yedu, so Elamah Vayedu Ki Rumanim, Mitzvah Achatayah Biyodam Venetzat Luhimeno. It wasn't the physical knowledge, but it was a whole new dimension, a whole new feeling, which applied itself, a feeling of conscience, which applied itself to many areas, expressed itself in the immediate, concept of shame insofar as the sexual area is concerned, but insofar as other areas also, insofar as mitzvahs, insofar as not doing the right thing. So for the first time, Adam had a new constellation, a new part of the brain was created, a new part of his mind and the psyche, which was the faculty of conscience. Correct? That was one change that Adam Rishon underwent. One change. Okay. The conscience is not really, we'll get back to the conscience, it's not really a knowledgeable thing. We'll get back to it. It's an emotion, it's a certain feeling. Now, why was the conscience created? So the Torah tells us that conscience was created when Adam ate from the Eitz HaDaat Tevara. Now there must be something tied into the Achila from the Eitz HaDaat Tevara. It wasn't just a simple commandment. Just don't eat from this tree. If you eat from this tree, something's going to happen to you. God didn't want to eat from that tree. God had to put that tree over there, and then he didn't want to eat it, and that's what he ate. That's not the shot. There's an idea behind this. What exactly happened to him? Why was this conscience produced? Yes? So how do you trace it back? It says that a new thing happened to him, that conscience was created, correct? Now where are we going to find the reason for the creation of this conscience? Where are we going to find it? In the Chayit, right in the Pesukim, right in the Pesukim as well. Okay, let's take a look. This is Pasuk Zayin, Vatipakach Neinish Nein Le'edik Rumeim. Alright? You understand what I mean by what Chazal said that he had one mitzvah? It gave him a new dimension, a new way of looking at things, a new way of feeling about things. Okay. Vatevra ho'isha kitev ha'etz l'machol v'chisava hu v'ainayim v'nechmod ha'etz l'haskil v'tikach mipirya v'techal v'tiken gan l'isha ima v'yechal. So what is the emphasis? What happened over here? Kitev ha'etz l'machol v'chisava hu v'ainayim. What was the essence of the eighth? What was the essence of the eighth? The essence of the eighth was closely related to, was in fact, what? Taiva. So really, the moment he ate from the eighth, what happened to him? His taiva was somehow or other increased. Correct? And the moment his taiva was increased, then what else happened? Then the new faculty of the mind was produced. Now all these things have to be in cause and effect relationship. You understand what I mean? What is the reason why? What is the reason why conscience had to be created? Why? Because the taiva was increased. Now we have to understand one thing. In what way was the taiva increased? When we say taiva was increased, it wasn't large. There's two types of increasing. You can increase something quantitatively, and you can increase something qualitatively. All right? Over here, it wasn't simply a quantitative increase, it was a qualitative increase. What was the qualitative increase? What was it? That was Yetzer Hara mi-bifnim, after the chait, Yetzer Hara mi-bichutz, before the chait. What does it mean, Yetzer Hara mi-bifnim, Yetzer Hara mi-bichutz? What exactly does it mean? So Chazal gave a muscle. Chazal said like this, that before the chait, if he saw Chava, he was misava. If he didn't see her, he wasn't misava. But after the chait, roya ve'ein roya, misava. Whether he sees her or whether he doesn't see her, he desires her. What does it mean? What exactly does it mean? For the chait, his energy naturally was used for what? For chachma. That's what it says. That Adam Rishon was created. He was able to leikol and shemes. He called all the behemoths, Akash Baruch Hu, the whole creation Akash Baruch Hu brought before him, and he was able to classify and understand. This is this type, this is that type. He was busy in understanding the universe. He was busy in contemplating chachma Hashem. Correct? So his energy naturally flowed where? To Chachma. But after the Chait, what happened? What happened the moment he ate from the Eitz HaDaat Tevara? What happened? So the energy was rerouted now. Now the energy goes initially to where? To the typhus. And if he wants to use it for chachma, so then he has to make a bypass.
He has to
change the direction of the channel.
He
must change the direction.
Completely in the other area.
That's the Yetzer Mibisnim. Mibisnim means that the Yetzer immediately operates that way. That's what I mentioned to you before. That's why I said that what's the difficulty in learning? The difficulty in learning is because initially, the taiva is the energy goes to the taiva. You follow? So the difficulty in learning is to make that's the tolerance, to make that break, to take the taiva and to rechannel it, redirect it. But the moment you redirect it, then if you develop the ability to learn and to concentrate and to work on thought, so then the moment you work in Torah, the moment you start working in ideas, the tolerance isn't a problem anymore. Because the tolerance is only a problem in the rerouting process. And as the person increases his ability to learn, so then there's no problem because he's enjoying the thought itself. But it requires an effort. It requires not effortless. And even the person who's involved in Torah, it's true, a person doesn't learn, he really enjoys it. And then if he goes away for a couple of hours, so immediately the whole energy system starts rerouting itself. See, that's the difference between us and someone like the only guy in. The person, Gedalia Yisrael, are constantly in this area. Once you come from that area, you just keep going. But the moment you stop and you pull out of it, so then you have to do it again. You have to go through that tolerance again. You follow? That's the hope. Okay. So now we understand what the chait was. The chait was an external stimulus. That's why the nachash, you mentioned before, the nachash was external. Machlokes Kashrus Rishonim, whether it was nachash, whether it was a real nachash or not a real nachash, the whole machlokes, whether it's symbolic or whether it's actual, the Rishonim talk about it. But that doesn't concern us. The concept is nevertheless remains the same. What is the concept? The limud is the same. The limud is that originally was an external stimulus and later it was internalized. Now what happened the moment it was internalized? The moment it was internalized, that was the fatal blow for man. Fatal blow, why? Because if the stimulus is internalized, so then he's finished. I mean, to pull away is going to be, you're not going to be such an easy matter anymore. So the whole purpose of Adam was to make a creature who is constantly involved in thought. But now it's not going to be the same. So what was added? The conscience was added, why? Because the conscience always operates against the instinct. See, the instinct, the taivas Adam, the main taivas are of a sexual nature, that's what Sarah says. So those main taivas are opposed by what? By the conscience. Person, if he does something wrong, he feels guilty. That's a very good thing that he feels guilty. Very good thing. So why is it a good thing? Because the moment he feels guilty, so he's caught. And when he's caught, what happens when he's caught? If he's caught properly, if he handles the way he's caught properly, what happens? What does he do? So then, what does he have to do? Then, what does he have to do? He has to reflect. Then he has to start reflecting. But if he wasn't caught, if he wasn't stopped by the opposition of the conscience, he would never stop, and they would keep on going. Do you follow? The taiva, the energy goes into the taiva, and that's it. Goodbye. The intellect wouldn't work too much. But what was necessary in order for man to be saved at that point was the creation of another faculty of the conscience. You understand? The creation of the conscience. And the moment there's a conscience, now the conscience works in opposition. So you have one thing that's working really against the tithers. That's the feeling of guilt, the feeling of inadequacy. When he has that feeling and he realizes his fate, then he can start using his intellect again to get back to the life of Chachma. But had Adam Rishon remained without the conscience, so then he would have been finished. Yes?
Why can't the intellect?
Could perceive the futility of sin, but there's only one problem. What's the problem? How many people, what's really, when you take a look at people's lives, sometimes a person's life can be summarized in one sentence. Why? Because the sentence is that there was a certain way in which his emotions set themselves up, and that was it for the next 50 years. Okay? Why? Because what happened to his intellect? Why does the man think there's so many contradictions? When a person starts analyzing life, when a person starts studying Torah, and he sees so many contradictions in people's life, open contradictions they live with, you wonder, how can they do that? Once you find out, you're really amazed. Sometimes try to bring their attention, but most of the time it's not too helpful. But the reason is, what's the reason? Because the intellect isn't working? The intellect isn't working. They have good minds. Most people can understand simple things in philosophy of life and Darachayim, but what causes it? Because the intellect isn't free anymore. The intellect isn't free. The energy is directed towards the instinct, and the instincts are so powerful that they corrupt the thinking process. As a matter of fact, the instinct exerts a tremendous effect on the thinking process. That's why I say rationalization. What's rationalization? Because the instincts want to have what they want. And therefore they'll rationalize. They'll argue this way today and the next way tomorrow. People want to say, how can you argue with this? Yesterday gives me one reason, they know. What's the reason? The reason is simple, because the instincts want to be satisfied. It's an instinctual activity first, and then the intellect comes in later. Later the intellect comes in. The intellect is whenever it's needed, whenever you want to rationalize, so then you use the intellect. That's really the difference between a chacham that we went through last time. A chacham is a person whose intellect is a free agent, and the average individual who is not a chacham, his intellect isn't subservient to the emotions. That's like a behemoth. A behemoth also has a certain amount of intellect. And all the experiments that they make with animals, which they try to show that an animal is similar to a person, but he's not, is a quantitative difference, they're making one mistake. What's the mistake they're making? It's not a quantitative difference, no matter what you do with a monkey. It's not a quantitative difference. The monkey will still operate always. What is the basic wheel? What is the basic motivating factor? The instinct. And everything else is only for that. So there's a qualitative differentiation. Adam, man, is the only one that has a qualitatively differentiated intellect. His intellect is not in subservience to his instinct. But his intellect is a free agent. He can actually get a free picture of reality. And if he does, of course, then he's living like a chacham. Most people don't. Yes. Well, therefore, there was a new entity was created. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw one thing, that if Adam didn't have the counterforce, the conscience, he'd never be able to live correctly anymore. The moment he was changed, by virtue of the fact, from indulging in taiva, the indulgence in taiva caused one thing. The indulgence in taiva caused this taiva to be changed. The moment the energy system was rerouted, was changed, then without a counterforce, he would have been finished. He would have been dead. What does it mean, dead? He's the only chacham in my stomach. Why? Because his existence would be equal to his non-existence. And there's no purpose in the creature anymore, because then that's death. Death means taiva to be changed. The moment the energy system was rerouted, was changed, then without a counterforce, he would have been finished. He would have been dead. What does it mean, dead? He's the only chacham in my stomach. Why? Because his existence would be equal to his non-existence. And there's no purpose in the creature anymore, because then that's death. Death means chayav mitzvah means one thing. There's no purpose in his life. Because God created a certain type of creature, this type. The moment it's another type, that's not part of the creation. So that's the end of it. He's dead. Yes. Oh, you have no bechira anymore. Man is supposed to have bechira. Okay. Yeah. Why exactly? How did it result in the thing? Oh, it's not very simple. Because the sin caused the change in his... What? So let's go back. So now, apparently eating from the eighth of Das caused a change in Adam Rishon. Right? And this change necessitated a counter change. Right? Okay. What does this show you? What does it show you one thing? Now it shows you one thing. What does it show you? In terms of what?
It shows something of nature of timing.
Don't forget about that. I'm not speaking about in terms of, not in so far as Adam's concerned. In so far as what? So far as HaKadosh Baruch Hu is concerned. It shows you one thing. That there's a tremendous difference in the creation between the behemoth and the highest and the rest of the universe and the creation of Adam. What was the difference between the creation of Adam and between the creation of the behemoth and the highest? What was the difference? Big difference. Very big difference. Very big difference. Yes? Why is the Sefer HaMaaseh not like a Sefer HaMaaseh that's dying? But it's a Sefer HaMaaseh that the Torah emphasizes tied in with creation. That's why the Apocryphum always take this as this to account. Ah, the reason is what? What does it show you? Yes. Man is the only one that took part in his own creation. That's the difference. That's why there's a whole separate account. This whole account is separate. Why? Because the Torah is telling you something. That it's true. In the first, the Torah includes the whole creation, Adam and everything. But then it isolates Adam. That's what Chazal say. It's only telling you what happened beforehand. But why does it have to tell you what's happened beforehand in a separate account? Why? Because the nature of the account is a different one. The other one, an animal, had no part in his creation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu simply made the animal and that was it. But by Adam, it was a completely different type of thing. What was different about Adam? Adam himself took part in his creation. In which part of the creation did he take? Which part of the creation did he take? In which part? Insofar as what? Insofar as the psyche is concerned. Vayitzer Hashem alekinas Adam ofer min Adama vayipach ba'atav nishmas chayim vayihi Adam l'nefesh chayot. Everything was created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but one thing was created by Adam. What was that? What was created by Adam? The psyche. The way the psyche structured was created by Adam. And how was it created by Adam? Through what? Through an act of bechira. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him bechira on one mitzvah. That mitzvah wasn't just simply a mitzvah. The mitzvah was one which Adam would be responsible for what type of a being he was going to be. That's what the Rambam says. And the Rambam says that then later, before he didn't have anything with the pantry. But later he realized the change. The change means that he was a different creature later. So who was responsible for him being a different creature? Who? He himself. See, he himself. Okay. Now let's take one more step. Question was, why it says in the two accounts, the first account is Midas Hadin Elohim, and the second account is Areshem Elohim, Midas Arachman. Right? We have to understand what Midas Hadin, what Midas Arachman is. All right. Yes. Rather than either, it's this way or that way. That's the one thing which is best. You can't say there's two things which is best. Best for him to be this way. If Rachmanis could be the worst crime, the person is raising a child, and the child wants something, he's bad for him, right? So he has Rachmanis, he's killing him. Right? I mean, everybody knows that Rachmanis is an emotion which could be detrimental. Call him Racham Alaza. Rachmanis is something he has to be controlled. What is the greatness of Ram Avinu? We say in the Tzvillim Rashana, in Moses, what do you say? V'chovash es Rachamov, lasteis retzeinecha. Right? They see Rachmanis could be a bad thing. He had Rachmanis for his son, but it was Kovash as Rachamov. So Rachmanis, you have to know whether Rachmanis isn't always a good thing. Although the Gavus of Avram was that he restrained his Rachmanis. The Torah doesn't know the person should always have Rachmanis. That's false. The contrary, sometimes you have to restrain Rachmanis. I will get to that. Now, the point is like this. The difference between Midas Hadin and Midas Rachman is as follows. It's not that there are two ways of looking at things in terms of Din, in terms of Rachman. There's only one reality and there's only one thing which is good. The difference is like this. The action is always the best action. But the difference is what causes the action. There are two things which cause the action. One thing which causes the action when a Kadosh Baruch Hu, the action of a Kadosh Baruch Hu is simply that this is the ultimate existence, the ultimate thing. In other words, a Kadosh Baruch Hu creates the universe. So what is the cause of the creation? To simply, why is it created this way? Because this is the best way that it should be created. Correct? You follow what I mean? Now, that's Midas Hadin. Midas Hadin means simply perfection. The reason why it was created is because this is the most perfect thing. Objectively, this is the way it should be. But let's say, for instance, something is created, correct? And then after the creation of the thing changes to something less perfect. So what happens then? What happens then? What happens then? If you'd abide by the rules of perfection, what would you say? Then it'll perish. Because the whole purpose of the creation was to create a certain type of creature. Now it's not that type of creature. So therefore its existence has no value anymore, so it should perish, correct? But there is another possibility. What's the other possibility? That something should be created as an antidote to the imperfection, and then it can exist again. A new act of creation is necessitated in order for that thing to exist. Because if the thing exists the way it is, it'll be destroyed. So therefore you need something else to be produced. That is what we call Midas HaRachman. Midas HaRachman means when HaKadosh Baruch Hu acts because of a shortcoming of Adam. You see? Adam was initially created to be a perfect creature. So that means simply in terms of the scheme of the blueprint of creation, the perfect blueprint, so the moment he ceases to be that thing which he was, then it means that's it. Annihilation, right? But if HaKadosh Baruch Hu steps in after he has been reduced from what he should have been, and if he creates something else in order that he should be able to continue to exist, that second action of creation, which was brought about by Adam's shortcoming, is called Rachamim. Rachamim because why? Rachamim, the Rambam says. Rachamim, whenever we say HaKadosh Baruch Hu has Rachamim, it means that the term means something that we would call an act of Rachmanis. It's associated to us as Rachmanis. Why? Because the moment Adam sinned, right, now he deserves Nisa. Now Kadosh Baruch Hu steps in and he saves him by creating another thing. That's called Rachman. So there is two types of creation. One type of creation is simply the basic because of the blueprint. The second type of creation is why? What brings about the second? What's the Mechaya? What's the cause of the second type of creation? The imperfection. The imperfection created by man. Whenever Kadosh Baruch Hu acts because of the imperfection created by man, that's called Midas HaRachman. That's why the first account of Bereshit, the first account. What is the first account? Why is it Midas HaDin? Because in the first account there is only perfect blueprint. That's it. Mm-hmm. That's it. No perfection. This is Vayashem Kitayz. It was as perfect as it could be. Vayashem Kitayz constantly, and it took him. Blueprint of creation, perfection. Then in the second account, what happened? Adam made things imperfect. The moment it's imperfect, so it should cease to be. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu stepped in. And what did he do? He created something else in order that he should be able to survive. That's called Midas Harachamim. That's called Midas Harachamim. You understand? So therefore, Midas is both, they're both rational in terms of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're both irrational, not the shot that one is less Rachmanis and one is less Din. They're both the perfect action. The difference is only what brings about the action. Is the action brought about because because this is the way the thing must be created in terms of the perfect blueprint, or is it brought about because of an imperfection that was created in order that it should be able to continue to exist since there's an imperfection? So another act of creation must be done. You follow? There's no difference in the act in terms of that the act is the correct act. It only has one, there's only one type of action, the correct action. But the difference is what brings about the action. Is it brought about objectively because this is the perfect thing? Or is it brought about because Adam has already interfered with the creation? And the way he's interfered, he really shouldn't exist anymore. Therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu has to step in and do another action in order to save him. When Kadosh Baruch Hu steps in because of man's imperfection, this is called what? Midas Harachamim. Okay. That's why the second account is Midas Harachamim. Where did HaKadosh Baruch Hu step in? Where did HaKadosh Baruch Hu step in? Where did he step in? First he gave Adam the ability to take part in his own creation. Correct? Take part in his own creation. To see what type of creature, what type of psychological, how is the psyche, how is the energy, the distribution of energy, how will it take place? That was the Mechira. What did he do? He made a mistake, so the distribution of energy was incorrect, imperfect. So where did HaKadosh Baruch Hu step in? What did he say? Vayedu Kirulamein. Because the additional, a new faculty was added to him. The faculty of conscience was added to him. The moment he has the faculty of conscience, so then he was permitted to exist. So this new creation of a new faculty by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this was what?
That was Midas Harachamim.
Without that, man would have just kept on going, and he was... This is the last point. The last point is, the Rambam mentions that, he says, he therefore transgressed the command with which he had been charged on the score of his reason, and having obtained the knowledge of the apparent truths, he was wholly absorbed in the study of what is proper and what is improper. Then he fully understood the magnitude of the loss he had sustained. What he had forfeited, and in what situation he thereby was placed. What was the loss? Let's understand the loss. What was the loss? I mean, the Rambam, you got... The loss. Where is the loss?
Even
the Kabbalah stepped in and saved them. So now he's good. It's not a matter. And having obtained the knowledge of the apparent truth, he was wholly absorbed in the study of what is proper and what is improper. Wholly absorbed. What is the wholly absorbed? This is where the Rambam, this must be underlined. I mean, this is the Rambam's emphasizing over here. That he was wholly absorbed. What was this absorption? What was he absorbed in?
Conflict.
What happened to him? The difference was like this, you see. Before Adam wasn't in conflict. There was no conflict. He exists naturally. As a matter of fact, the Ramban also says this shot. Ramban says that in the Adam Adam Rishon Kedem Achet. So he says that before Adam went about his business just like any other creature, naturally. Other creatures were created to eat straw, grass, tithes. He was created to understand God. So he went around naturally doing what he was supposed to. There was no conflict. But the moment what happened? The moment he ate, the moment his tithes were increased, and what had to be added? In order to counteract the tithe, what had to be added? Another faculty. Now, once you have two faculties operating in the same person, so what does it mean of necessity? What does it mean? It means conflict. The moment he has conflict, what does he have to do? He has to resolve the conflict. He has to be busy in the art of resolving the conflict. And he has to spend time and energy in that. You understand what I mean? And because of that, what is he losing? He's losing intellect. Because that energy could be used for intellect. You see it? That's the thing. But it couldn't exist any other way. It says on Pasuk Tes, Bayis Tes, Vayosa Be'inai, The astronomical bodies, I mean, abide by certain rules, by certain laws of the universe, and they operate. Adam also was that way. But his operation was the operation of Tefillin Chochma, the greatest thing that any being could have. But the moment he increased the Saiva qualitatively, then something else had to be added. What was added? The conscience. Now he's in conflict. Now he's busy resolving the conflict. And the conflict isn't so easily resolved, because there are many different attributes, many different things that take place. For instance, conscience is a good thing, right? What we just mentioned before, that Rachmanis, a person's the emotions of Rachmanis, which is on the side of the conscience, could be a detrimental thing. Conscience is a good thing, but the only problem is this, that conscience attaches itself many times to specific things. And it can't change. It's attached emotionally to certain things, it can't change. When you see a person begging at the door, so immediately your Rachmanis, you have to give him help. But if he's a Russia, so you're destroying society, you're destroying mankind. So therefore, the person must be busy. These emotions are always coming into play, and he has to be busy now sifting out. This emotion now tells me to do this. Maybe on the contrary, maybe the emotion of Taifa now is the right thing. Maybe the emotion of this is the right thing. There is no one emotion that a person can guide himself by. The only thing that conflict could do is create a certain awareness in him that if he is successful, he can resolve the problem, because he sees different sides, different emotions, and then he could resolve exactly intellectually what the correct thing to do and abide by that emotion. But the emotion is always there. So the loss that he had sustained was before this whole world didn't exist. This whole concept didn't exist. But now it does. And that's why the moment Adam and conflict was implanted in man, it's true, there is a way out of the conflict. There is a way out of the conflict. But he has to be busy with getting out of it. You follow? And that's why, basically, that's the difficulty. That's why man's happiness is an impossibility. An impossibility. Just plain, simple happiness is impossible. Why is it impossible? People always try to be like, today they want to have natural flow, natural happiness. What does it mean? It's impossible. Why is it impossible? It's possible for an animal. It's possible. It's possible for a child, a young child. It's possible. But it's never possible for a human being who is developed. Why? Because inherently, what is there? Conflict. His nature is conflict. And the moment his nature is conflict, happiness already is very elusive. There's only one way. The person can resolve the conflict with the best of his ability. Then he can achieve a certain amount of happiness. But otherwise, it's almost impossible. Because inherently he's created with conflict. That's the case. Obviously, what exactly was with the Eitz HaDaat, I would say, I mean, Chisavahu Leinayim Venechmada Eitz Lahaskil. And what exactly was there? You see, Adam HaRishon, there was one of the motivating factors which was involved was he knew that the Eitz HaDaat Tevaro would change his nature. He knew that, you see. That's why the Rambam mentions when he began to give way to desires which had their source in his imagination and to the gratification of his bodily appetites. You see? So the thing was that he knew that it was something there. That's the whole mice over there. And the yisim kelokim yedetevara. So he knew that this thing would change his nature. He knew that he could make the change. But his imagination led him to believe that the change would be one which is desirable, somehow or other. You follow? He knew that this was the thing. Now, when he gave way to his imagination, and he followed it, you see, then he was lost, because the moment he did that, he didn't change. The fact that we mentioned that the second account, was an account of Midas Harachamim. Why is it Midas Harachamim? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu created in accordance with man's imperfection, in accordance with man's nature, in accordance with imperfection. That's why the account, in the second account, where do you have the account of Chava, she was created? How she was created? Where do you have it? Yes. It's in the second account. Why is it over there? Because it tells you in the first account, all it says is, I ever came to Sodom and Salam, and Sodom and Zohar and Akeva Barasam. Right? In the second account it says no. It says that Adam HaRishon was created. I tell Hashem Lekim Alod and Lehman. 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 Listen to the Tzukim. That's after the Tavor, right? Then Vayitzer Hashem Elokim and Adam Kol Chayas Asada Veis Kolayf Hashemayim Vayovei Elo Odom Miroes Mayikroloi Vechola Sheyikroloi Odom Nefesh Chayah Hu Shemayim. That has nothing to do with what I said before. Next pasuk, Vayikro Odom Shemayim Vechola Behem Eloif Hashemayim Vechol Chayas Asada Ulo Odom Leimotzo Eizer Kenegdai. What's one thing to do with the other? Vayikro Shemayim is Chachma. Odom Leimotzo Eizer Kenegdai is something else. Right? It's a need. What's one thing to do with the other? Then Vayapel Hashem Elokim Tadeim Alon Vayishan Vayikach Achas Mitzalaisa Vayisgav Bosa Tachpina. What is the Torah telling you over here? See, this is Midas HaRachm. Midas HaRachm means because it's because of his nature that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chava was created in a certain way. She was created in a certain way. Why? What's the pshat? The pshat is like this. Vayikra Adam Shem Eich means that he was involved in Chachma. Then it says, La'odam le'motza ezek kenegda, as the Chazal mentioned, Rashi brings down, and melamed shabo kol behema chayav oif. That he lived with every behema chayav oif and he wasn't satisfied. What does it mean? It doesn't mean literally that he lived with every single chayav oif. It means like this. It means that a need, you see, he recognized that he had the need, but he recognized also that his need is different than their needs. Because the animal, to the animal, mating is purely an instinctual act. Just instinctual. But on the Adam Le Motza Ezek Kenegdai, he saw that instinctual satisfaction would not satisfy him. Why wouldn't it satisfy him? Because his instinctual nature was different, because there was a psyche, and the psyche was different. His satisfaction had to be tied into a psychological factor as well. You see? That's why it says, when he says, Vayivin Arashem Lekim Chaseva Shalokach Meno Odom Le'isha Vayivieho El Odom, Vayemar Odom Zeis HaPom, Etzem Me'atzomai Uvosor Mibisori, Rezeis Yikari Isha Kine Ishku Kocha Zeis. So Chazal says, Zeis HaPom, he means this, he saw that before his sexual activity was simply the mating, he saw it just doesn't satisfy him. He understood that he was a different creature. With him, it has to be a psychological factor. But the Torah emphasizes one aspect of the psychological factor. What is the aspect? That it came from him. What does it mean it came from him? Apparently, the construction of Chava, you see, had to be from Adam. Why? Because apparently it had a lot to do with the concept, with the psychological concept of his own self-love. You understand? His love for the self, had to somehow be tied in with the object of his love in order for him to be satisfied in terms of having a mate. But it couldn't be done simply on the instinctual level. That's why this is incorporated in the second account. Why? Because this is Midas HaRachm. And this is creation in accordance with the specific, not in accordance with the main plan, Zachon HaKeva Baraisam. Create Zachon HaKeva. That's the blueprint is actually Zachon HaKeva. But why in this way? Why in this specific way? Because of his nature. That's the blueprint is actually Zachon HaKeva. So why in this way? Why in this specific way? Because of his nature. That's Midas HaRachm. You follow what I mean? That's why this counts including Midas HaRachm. But the basic idea, the basic previous idea is that what was the whole idea? By a tzavah Hashem Elokim Adam Leimor was he was an intellectual being, like the Rambam says. And then the Adam Leimor to Eizek Kenegdai means what? What was that Adam Leimor to Eizek Kenegdai? That he recognized the need. In other words, all his energy could not be consumed in the intellectual alone. There was a need. When he was analyzing the behemoth, and he came to analyzing the sexual activity, the sexual sphere, then he saw that he was different. And therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu had to make a creature that was created in a way that it satisfied him, which his nature was different. There had to be a psychological satisfaction. You follow what I mean? That was etzemei atzomai uvasa mibisari. So first of all, he couldn't use up all his energy, but initially he was created, many learned that initially he was created to be alone. That if he could have utilized all his energy, he would have been able to be alone. He wouldn't need Chava. And that would be it. Only one of them, that would be it. Many learned that way. So therefore, the reason why he required Chava was due to an imperfection in his nature. He couldn't utilize all the energy. You see? That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it, because of his imperfection, he had to do it in a way that it would satisfy his need. Otherwise, again, he would always have that imperfection. You follow? So basically, the whole account, the whole second account is all what? All Midas HaRachm. You understand? Okay. There's a difference between the first thing, in other words, the fact that he required Chava, and between the Chait. The fact that he required Chava wasn't a Chait. It's true that it could be that he could have been more perfected. It was a shortcoming, but it wasn't a Chait, because it didn't change qualitatively his life. In other words, so now he requires a new fine. So he has kava, but as long as he has kava, now he keeps on existing the same way as he did before. Just a matter of, okay, it's not as much, a little less. But there wasn't a change. In the second one, that's a shortcoming. It's not exactly up to 100% of what he could have been, even a little more, fine. But over here, it's a shortcoming because it's an integral change in his nature. Now he has a different life altogether. Now the life is totally different. Once he changed the way his energy works, then it's a qualitatively different life. It's not just a matter of a little less time. He's not learning as much, less. That's a shortcoming, but that's not a real chait. That's not a chait. Okay. Bobby asked a good question. The question is that if this was an imperfection in me and that he needed kava, so then why is it in the blueprint in the first account?
Oh.
So the answer is like this. Because since it's true that it was a shortcoming, the fact that he needed kava, it was a shortcoming. But it still was within the nature of man. The nature of man was that he could be a Ben Azai. Ben Azai didn't need it, never got married. Why? Because Ben Azai is Choshen Asher B'Terah. But Ben Azai and Moshe Rabbeinu, you wouldn't say it's two different beings. See? This is one aspect. And so far as that's concerned, he could live this way, he could live that way. True, it's a little better if he could live this way, but it still is within the nature of man. They're both defined as the same nature. Masha'ina came, so therefore it's din, right? Because din, the first account, tells everything that's necessary within the nature of man as a creature. As a creature, within his nature, that he could require a woman. You see, it wasn't necessary, but it's within the nature of man. Whereas the chait was a corruption of the nature. That's a totally different thing. Now he's changed from what he was before. Now he can't do the same thing that he was before. He's involved totally in thought. Now he's involved in conflict. That's a different nature already. That's why that's in the Midas HaRachman, the addition of the conscience, you see? But Zachon HaKev is in the Midas HaDin, because it's within the nature of the thing, and the first one tells you everything that's within the nature of the thing. But the detail, you understand, but the detail of the creation has to be in the second account. Why? Because since it's brought about by man's action, that's defined as Midas HaRachman. That's why how she was created has to be in the second account. But the fact that she is created is in the first account. Okay. Yeah, Leslie Unger mentioned, good point. It says that that's why according to Chazal that it was two patsufim, right? So that's very good. Because it was really, in other words, it wasn't simply if you say it's a new binyan, so then it's not as much as self love as if the way the other Chazal said it's two patsufim, one against the other, and he split them off. And then it was really the love of the self. Because before that was a part of him, the same thing. The only thing was split. If you say it was an additional thing, so then it's not as much. The difference between the two pshatim would be how much of the self love is involved. If there was two, then he split them in half. So then there was the only change that took place was simply separation. But the entity exists before. See, the entity exists before as a part of him. If you say it was a new binyan, so then it's only the self love is only insofar as it came, it was generated from a part of himself. But it wasn't the exact same form as himself. You understand? That would be the machlokes in Chazal.